We are honored this year to have Dr. David Snyder with us. He is the President and General Director of Baptist International Missions Incorporated. The Lord called Dr. Snyder to missions when he was a 10-year-old boy, listening to a missionary presentation much like we have heard tonight. He and his wife met in Bible college, and they served for many years planting churches in Alaska. The Lord eventually called them to come back to BIMI as the Far North Director, and beginning in 2010 as the President and General Director. BIMI comes alongside local churches to care for missionaries all over the world, and right now they are caring for 700-plus couples. Dr. Snyder encourages those families and then travels all across America and all over the world, encouraging churches to get involved in the Great Commission. This is his first time with us. We had his predecessor, Dr. Don Sisk, many times, and Dr. Sisk told me over the years, Brother Gillett, you need to have Dr. Snyder, and I'm so glad it's finally worked out. We're so blessed to have his lovely wife, Barbara, with him. Would you stand, Mrs. Snyder, and let's welcome her. We're so glad that she's here. We're looking forward to the messages that God has laid on Dr. Snyder's heart.
I want to say thank you to Pastor and thank you to you as a church for having us here for this conference. My wife and I have really been looking forward to being here, and I can tell you already, we have been praying. We're praying, have been, still are, that God would do a really special work here this week in every heart and every life. And one of the things that I'm praying about, I'm just going to tell you right up front, I'm praying God's going to call somebody from this place to full-time missionary service. Amen. I'm just letting you know right up front, I'm praying for that, and I'm expecting God's going to answer my prayer. And I'd ask you to pray with me for that, because when you pray that, you're praying within God's will. I won't give you my testimony. Pastor's already done that for me. Let's go straight to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And for those of you who are familiar with faith promise giving, or sometimes called grace giving, you'll recognize this passage of Scripture is probably the, if you will, the classic passage of Scripture for explaining what faith promise is and grace giving and why do we do it this way? Where did this come from? You know, Pastor Gillett didn't get together last week with a few of the men and say, hey, this is a good idea. Let's try this. No. There is a biblical basis. But beyond just talking about the grace giving and the faith promise and the financial side of it, there's an example here from the Macedonian churches for you and I that transcends, goes far beyond the financial side. They gave themselves first to the Lord. And that's the key thing that I want to key in on. Now, I want to look at the first 12 verses of chapter 8, and I'm going to give you a little warning as I start tonight, okay? I am a long-winded preacher. Some of you are scared to death right now. Hold on, okay? Now, there's a lot of preachers that are long-winded, but the problem is they don't know that they're long-winded, okay? At least I know. So since I know, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this one message, and I'm going to cut it up into three parts. Tonight, part one. Lord willing, tomorrow night, part two. And Lord willing, Friday night, part three. So the whole idea here is if you're here tonight, you got to sit all the way through Friday night to get the whole message. So keep coming back, okay? So let's start here, 2 Corinthians 8, and I'm going to read the first five verses tonight just to get us started. 2 Corinthians 8, beginning verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this passage of Scripture. Thank you for what your word has to teach us. And tonight I'm asking now to be empty of myself and to be filled, completely filled with your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that you would indeed do a work in every heart and every life, mine included tonight. And I do pray, God, that you would call somebody from this place into full-time missionary service. Lord, please have your will and way now, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A little bit of background on 2 Corinthians 8. A year prior to Paul writing this passage of scripture, Paul was with the church at Corinth. While he's with them, he's challenging them about an offering that they're going to take up, and we'll talk a little bit more about that offering as we get into this passage of scripture. But the church at Corinth is excited, and they say, yes, Paul, count us in. We want to be part of this offering. And so, you know, that encourages the heart of a preacher. So Paul leaves, he's encouraged, and as he travels in his missionary journeys, he's in, with the churches in Macedonia. He tells them also about this offering, and boy, they get excited because Paul says, by the way, the church at Corinth is going to be involved too. So the churches in Macedonia, they begin to give. God does an amazing work. Now, we'll talk more about that in just a moment as well. But the problem is now, a year later, the church at Corinth still has not made good on their commitment to give to the offering that they said that they were going to be part of. So now Paul, 1 year later, writes back to the church at Corinth and says, let me tell you about what God has done in the churches at Macedonia. And that's why he says in verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do to wit of the grace of God. We do to wit. That means we make known to you the grace of God. Now, he's saying, I'm going to make known to you something that you don't know up until this point. So when he says, we're making known to you the grace of God, you know, obviously, when we think about God's saving grace, they already knew about God's saving grace. Now, sadly, they were carnal Christians sometimes, you know, but they knew about God's saving grace. And can I just stop tonight and say, I thank God for his saving grace. If it were not for his saving grace, we shouldn't even be here tonight. We wouldn't even be here tonight. So I praise God for that. But they knew about God's saving grace. And then I think about God's sustaining grace. But as Christians, they, again, know, they would know about God's sustaining grace. And can I just stop for a moment and say again, I thank the Lord for his sustaining grace. I'm glad that God didn't save me by his grace and say, okay, you're on your own. Hope it all works out. But every day, I rely on God's sustaining grace. So this grace that he's making known to them is a very special grace, or can we say it this way, a very specific grace that the churches at Macedonia had experienced, but they have not yet experienced. Now the context, as you'll see as we go through these 12 verses here, it is the grace of giving, or thus the reason we often call this grace giving. So thus the name. So moreover, brethren, we do to wit, make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, just for the sake of our study, the churches at Macedonia, what churches would they be? Well, several. Number one, the church at Philippi. And we know about that church. We have the book of Philippians. And can I say they're a model church in so many ways, but particularly in the area of missions. But then there would also be the church at Thessalonica. And again, we know about them, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Again, great church. And then the church at Berea. And again, a good church. They search the scriptures. They want to know what God had to say about these things. So these were good churches that Paul's talking about. And these are the particular ones when he says the churches at Macedonia. Now, what's going on in Macedonia? He gets into that now, verse number 2. He says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. How that, number one, in a great trial of affliction. These churches are in what the Bible says is a great trial of affliction. Let me qualify that. It doesn't say that they were having some difficulties. It doesn't say that they were, you know, going through some problems in their life and they hoped that they'd be, you know, through them soon. No, a great trial of affliction. Now, history tells us and the Bible tells us that when the Bible here is talking about this great trial of affliction, we're talking about people who were being put in jail and people who were dying for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I sometimes think we're in the middle of a great trial of affliction. And I'm not trying to make light of our difficulties, but can I say this? Very few of us really know what a great trial of affliction really is. Now, we could go to some communist countries in our world today, and we could find some brothers and sisters in Christ who know what a great trial of affliction really is. God has blessed us. Can I say, to whom much is given, much is required. So these churches, they're in a great trial of affliction, but notice the next phrase there, the abundance of their joy. hold on. Wait a minute. Preacher, you mean in the midst of trials and tribulations, we can have joy? Yes, we can. And we should. Now, I'm going to take this another step further. And some of you, this is going to shock you, okay? So just stay with me, okay? The context of this passage of Scripture is giving. You understand, there are some independent Baptists that don't think that joy and giving can even go in the same sentence. Let alone, are we able to experience joy in giving? Can I again say that we can enjoy giving and we should enjoy giving? Amen. Now, let's get realistic. Some of you are probably saying, Brother Snyder, I get what you're saying. I see what Scripture's saying. But you know, it's difficult for me. You know, I think it's difficult for most of us. I think there are several that probably have the gift of giving, and for those folks, it's easy. But for the rest of us, can I say it this way? Sometimes joy in giving is like an acquired taste. Something that the more that you do it, you acquire that joy. Let me give you this illustration, okay? I grew up in Pennsylvania. And in Pennsylvania, I don't know how it is here in Texas, you can tell me afterwards, but in Pennsylvania, there's one day out of the whole year that is like the biggest day. I mean, Christmas is nothing compared to this day. The post office shuts down everything on the first day of buck season, okay? It is a big deal in Pennsylvania to be a buck hunter, to go buck hunting, you know? So I remember as I was growing up, I was so excited because I took the hunter safety course. And they gave me a patch to put on my coat afterwards, and it said that I was a safe hunter. Now, I'd never been hunting before, but I was a safe hunter because I'd taken the course, okay? And I remember getting up that first morning to go buck hunting with my dad, and my dad was getting the things ready. And for those of you who've been buck hunting, you know you're up before the sun, okay? It's, you know, I'm just half asleep. I'm trying to get awake. And Dad says to me, David, would you like a cup of coffee? And of course, I said, yes, Dad, I would love a cup of coffee. I did not like coffee. But you understand, if you're going to be a good buck hunter, you drink coffee, okay? It's just part of the qualifications, and I knew that. Now, I have to let you know a little secret. That morning, I had a little coffee with my cream and sugar. Okay, you know, just what it took to get it down. But, you know, I had the patch. I was a hunter, and hunters, they just drink coffee. So I did that. Now, I want to explain to you something that since that day until now, something has changed. I have acquired a taste for good coffee. And can I qualify good coffee? You know what weak coffee is, don't you? It is a waste of time. I mean, why do you even put that stuff in your cup? I just have no idea. When you pour coffee into a cup, you should be able to take a spoon. It should stand up straight in the middle of it all by itself, okay? And by the way, my theme is that when you have perfection in a cup, don't mess it up. Okay, don't put the cream and the sugar in there. You just drink it black. That's just the best way that there is to drink coffee. Now, I'm exaggerating just a little bit, okay? Okay, but I think hopefully you get my point. You know, at one point in time, I drank it because, well, that's what hunters do. Now I don't drink it because I haven't been hunting. I don't know the last time I've been hunting, but I'll tell you what, when I get up in the morning, I open my Bible, and one of the things I like having right there next to me is that cup of coffee. I enjoy a good cup of coffee. And you know what? As Christians, sometimes when we first begin to give, well, we give. Why? Well, because we're Christians, and that's what Christians do, and that's what the Bible says we're supposed to do, and we give. And sometimes it takes a little cream and sugar, really, doesn't it? Just to kind of get it going, and you just do it. But I can tell you this, that as you continue to do it, and God continues to bless you and helps you through that, you will acquire a taste for giving, and the joy will come. After the years that I've spent giving, if I couldn't give now, boy, it'd drive me crazy, because I love to be able to give now. So there was a joy in their giving, despite the great trial that they were in. But notice also there, not only the great trial of affliction, but the second thing that they were enduring in verse 2, it says, and deep poverty. Deep poverty. Again, let's qualify this. Let's think about this. The Bible does not say financial difficulties, a tight budget. What's that stuff they keep talking about? Inflation. And it's not, it doesn't even say poverty. It says deep poverty. Now, listen again. We here in the United States of America, we are blessed. Beyond what most of us know, we are blessed. There are some third world countries in this world today, some of them presented already this week, that if we were to go there, we could find some people that lived in deep poverty. And by the way, when they looked at you and I, they would say, we are rich. And by the way, in comparison to them, we are rich. Can I just remind us again? To whom much is given, much is required. They gave, despite the fact that they're in deep poverty. Now, notice this as we finish up verse number 2. It says that all of this abounded unto the riches of their liberality. It abounded unto the riches of their liberality. What does that mean? It means God blessed them for their giving. Now, again, I want to be very clear, because the health and wealth prosperity gospel preachers of today would say, see, God made them rich because they gave. What does it say there? Deep poverty. God didn't make them rich for their giving, but God blessed them for their giving. How did he bless them? I believe the greatest blessings that God gave them and the greatest blessings that God can give to you and I are eternal blessings. Blessings, treasures that they were laying up for all eternity. Can I remind you of this tonight? This thought really gets me. You realize that tonight, the folks that were part of those churches in Macedonia, that right now, they are enjoying those blessings of God because they were treasures that they laid up. And the moth's not going to get up there. The thieves aren't going to get there. The fire's not going to get through. God blessed them. This abounded unto the riches of your liberality. So when we talk about faith promise, and we talk about grace giving, and we talk about praying about what God would have you give to missions, I'm not telling you, hey, you give to missions, you're going to get rich. You may stay poor. You may stay right where you are. God may bless you financially, but I'm going to tell you this, God blesses obedient giving. He did them, he will us. Now, we need to move on. Verse number 3. This tells us a little bit about their giving. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. So they gave two different ways. The Bible says, for to their power I bear record. Now, anything they gave to their power, in other words, it was within their power to give, can we say it was a sacrifice? Because they're in deep poverty. So, first of all, they gave sacrificially. But notice the Bible says, yea, and beyond their power. They gave beyond what they were able to give. So not only did they give sacrificially, but they also gave supernaturally. I believe that God gave through them what he would not have necessarily given to them. Let me illustrate this. There are certain things in this auditorium that are within my power to pick up and carry around. If I really wanted to, I could go down the stairs and I could take it out the door, no problem whatsoever. But you know, I'm looking at this piano back here. You realize there's some things in this auditorium that are beyond my power to pick up. Now, I gotta tell you, I'm not even gonna try and pick it up, okay? But you realize that if I were smart, as I'm looking around, seeing some young people over here and seeing some strong backs all the way through, you know, if I could get some volunteers, volunteers, who would be willing to come up and, you know, get around this thing, and I'd be right about here, you know, trying to help them, you know, and tell them, you know, bend your knees, you know, and with help, I could move that piano, but not without help. And so they gave to the power. They gave what they could give. They said, here, God, this is what you've laid on our hearts. We're going to give it. And I believe that as they gave that, they experienced that joy in giving. And they said, God, would you allow us to give even beyond this? And this is where God's grace was manifested on them. And by God's grace, he enabled them to give beyond what they were able to give. Now, I've had people say to me, all right, preacher, I'm considering what God would have me to do, and you know, I'm praying about this, and how do I know if I'm giving to my power or if I'm giving beyond my power? I have a simple answer for you. Don't worry about it. Just give whatever God lays on your heart to give. Just be obedient to Him. It's that simple. It really is. Now, I will also share this testimony with you that for 36 years, my wife and I have been involved in faith promise giving. And when we started giving via faith promise, we gave to our power. Can I say that we felt like we were in deep poverty at that point? You know, newly married, just out of college, all those kind of things, you know. But we gave to our power. Now, every year since that time, 36 years ago, we were part of our missions conference of our local church. And every year we were challenged, hey, what are you going to give this year? Can you give some more? What would God have you to give? And I will tell you that by God's grace, He has enabled us each year to make an increase over the last year. Now, by the way, some of those years, it was a pretty big increase. Praise the Lord, you know. Some years, not much, but it was an increase. But over the last 36 years, God has moved us from giving to our power to giving beyond our power. I can't explain all of it. I wouldn't do this, but if I were to show to you our finances and lay it out for you, you'd look at it and you say, you know, that doesn't work. But God's accounting makes it work. And all I can say is, God's grace is amazing. We just have to be obedient and do whatever it is God tells us to do. God will take care of the rest. But now we come to maybe the most important part of this particular message for tonight. Verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Willing of themselves, what does that mean? It means they wanted to do it. It wasn't that the Apostle Paul had taken their arm, put it behind their back, and twisted their arm and said, you know, time to give. No, no, they wanted to do it. And can I say that's what makes all the difference in the world? Can I illustrate this for you tonight? I'm going to give you one illustration, but two versions of the illustration, if you will, okay? So here I am. I am at the BIMI home office, and I have just finished a day's worth of work. So I leave the office, and I come to the flower shop. Would you be my flower lady for tonight? All you got to do is sit there. Skeezy. So I come to the flower shop, and the flower lady puts together for me a dozen red roses. We put them in a box, we put a ribbon, you know, put a little note in there, all of those things, and I pay for those flowers, and I leave the flower shop, and I go to the house, and there is my wife, and she's in the kitchen, and she's preparing the evening meal, and by the way, the evening meal is called supper, it's not called dinner, that's just a personal opinion, but there you go, that's for what it's worth, okay? So she is preparing supper. And I walk into the kitchen and I take those flowers and I put them on the counter and I say, there you are, sweetheart. I love you. Just wanted to show you in a tangible way. Now, I am extremely disappointed in the ladies in this auditorium. Not one amen. I just can't get over that. But you know, there it is, okay? Now, I got to tell you that I enjoy this part of this illustration because in this part of the illustration, I get a kiss, and that's a great thing, okay? But here's the other side of that, the other version of that. Here I am. I am at the BIMI home office. I've put in a day's worth of work, and I leave the BIMI office, and I come to the flower shop, and here's the same flower lady. And this flower lady, she puts together the 12 roses. We put it in the box, put the ribbon, put the note. We pay for them. We do all the same things. And I take them to the house where my wife is preparing supper. And this time, as I come into the kitchen, I take those flowers and I slam them down on the counter and say, there you are, sweetheart. These stupid flowers. You've been complaining and bellyaching that all the other men in the church get their wives flowers, but you never get me flowers. Now you can't say that anymore. And by the way, babe, we can't afford these flowers. We are really hurting right now. I left the receipt in the box so you can see how much I had to pay for these things that are just going to die anyways. Now, I don't like this illustration because I don't get a kiss. By the way, I don't get supper either, okay? But here's what I want you to see about that illustration. Everything is the same. The same office, the day's worth of work, the same flower lady, the same gift that was given. It's the same wife. It's the same kitchen. It's the same meal. It's the same counter. It's the same everything, except for the attitude with which the gift was given. And you understand, that's what makes all the difference in the world. You see, in the first illustration, my wife loved the flowers. She liked the flowers. It was a good thing. In the second illustration, the flowers went out the window. Because, watch, the focus is not to be on the gift itself that's given. Now, can I say this quickly? You have to focus on that sum. Because if I put weeds and rocks in the box, that wouldn't work either, okay? By the way, also, I'll mention this. If I were a really smart husband, I wouldn't come home with 12 roses. I would come home with tulips, because tulips are her favorite flower, okay? So watch. Take some time. Pray. Put some emphasis on the gift itself. But watch. The main emphasis is not on the gift itself. The main emphasis is on the relationship between the one who's giving the gift and the one who's receiving the gift. So also with faith promise giving, the relationship is what's key. The relationship between the one who's giving the gift and the one who's receiving the gift. You see, it's not guilt giving, it's grace giving. It's not that we have to give. It's that we get to give. And that makes all the difference in the world. Now, I'm going to close out here with verse 3. But here's your assignment. I want to give you one word tonight that goes with this message. And I want you to take that word with you. Let it roll around in your mind. Let it roll around in your heart from now till when we get back together tomorrow night. And I want you to think about this word and how it relates to what God wants you to do when it comes to faith promise giving, when it comes to missions in general. Here's the word: attitude. How is your attitude? You know, maybe you came in here tonight and said, missions conference. Here we go. You know that preacher, he's going to get up and he's going to talk about money. You know it's going to happen, and I didn't disappoint you, did I? You know he's going to get up and talk about missions and missionary. Hey, listen, if that's your attitude, I'd say go home and talk with the Lord tonight. But maybe your attitude is just a little bit off. Maybe it's where it should be. And ask God to help you have the right attitude. Because, you know, if you had a mom like mine, obedience all by itself was good, but it didn't count if the attitude was off. God, he loves the gift, but it's all about the relationship. And the relationship can't be right unless the attitude is right. Would you stand with me, heads bowed and eyes closed? And tonight, I would just ask if you would to consider that one simple word. I want you to consider the example of the churches at Macedonia. Can I say their attitude was right? Their attitude was one of, hey, God, we're in deep poverty. We're in a great trial of affliction, but God, whatever you want, that's what we want. And they gave to their power and said, God, would you allow us to give beyond our power? And God granted that by his grace. And as the instrumentalist begins to even now play a hymn of invitation, would you take these next few moments, head bowed, eyes closed, would you talk with the Lord? Maybe God's spoken to you in a special way about something. We invite you to come. This altar is open. Please come talk with the Lord. Hey, what a great way to start a missions conference, to just come and say, God, help me to do your will, and help me to do your will with the right attitude. Would you take these next few moments, meditate on that word, attitude. Meditate on the example of the churches in Macedonia. It's more than just the money thing. It's about us giving ourselves first to him. As she continues to play, would you continue to pray? And in just a few moments, Pastor will come and he'll close out or continue the invitation as God directs him.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender.
As you are out there today, you're having a conversation with the Lord, and you're saying, Lord, I want to have a joyful attitude about this conference, a joyful attitude about being involved in missions, in the great commissions, a joyful attitude about being able to give back from which you have so generously given me. And I hope today that you have a willing attitude as you go into the conference. Lord, I'm willing to pray the prayers this week that you would have me to pray. I'm willing to give what you would have me to give. I'm willing to go, Lord, where you want me to go. I'm coming happy in the Lord. I'm coming wide open, and I'm ready for you to speak to me. And you know, here we are on Wednesday night, and we're going to sing one more verse of I Surrender All. And right there where you sit, would you tell the Lord, my heart is wide open to you, Lord. My life is completely surrendered. I'm joyful. I'm willing. I have the right attitude. You speak to me this week. So as Brother Corey is going to lead us in a verse, you pray a prayer, something like that to the Lord, and we're going to have the best conference we've ever had around here. So one more verse, you talk to the Lord.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow, worldly pleasure.
God's people said, amen.